Welcome to the Movie A Day podcast. I'm your host, Timmy Doom. As you can see now, if you've been listening straight through from the first time I posted till now, at the time that I posted the shows, you've seen I went from doing a film a day till currently not doing a film a day. So officially now the film Movie A Day podcast is just that in name only. It's like a, you know, it's more like a figurative, you know, a movie a day. It feels like he's doing a lot of movies, even though it's not every day. Well, I may just change the name of the podcast, but today's selection, Django, and other musings. I know what the other musings are. Before I get to Django, then I talk about the other fucking musings. I'm trying to curse less. Try not to curse at all. So, okay, that's one F word, and hopefully there'll be no more during the podcast, even though there probably won't, because of the subject matter. Okay, so, and these might run a little longer than the 10 to 15 minutes, since I'm not doing it every day consistently. Aside from me getting a job, which that's not a good enough excuse not to do more podcasts, but I just... was going to do some things lately, work changing, getting into a job, finishing some tests. I was taking a couple classes at a college, local college. So that's why, you know, my schedule got out of hand. I had to finish up some projects and excuses. Yeah, I know. Okay, so getting back to the podcast. The first subject, the other musings. It was a holiday party I just went to lately, and one of the people there was Kingsley, who used to co-host my podcast with me. We all know who he is. He's a gay person. He is a closet gay, and he's the movie snob too. Very snobbish about movies, and of course, you know, we had to listen to some shit about how couple of people at this party said, you know, they didn't like Tyler Perry's movies. We're all black there at the party. It was a white elephant party. And he says, basically saying that when we say that we don't like Tyler Perry, if we say it in a room full of white people who also say they don't like Tyler Perry's movies, or that he's not a good filmmaker, you know, if we say that he's not a good filmmaker, he sucks. The minute we leave the room, the white people look at each other and say, mm-hmm. You got another. There's a person right there. They're back on their race, or they stab a person in the back at a minute's notice because we're black people. Now this is concept. We're black people who is dissing another black man, so therefore that means we're sellouts to our race, and we're not giving our opinion about a filmmaker. We're sellouts to our race. So I mean. So I'm like, what? And of course, he's louder and he's more articulate in expressing himself. So, you know, he kind of dominated the conversation. But I mean, I could give or take that. But I'm like, now I'm seeing. But he's becoming less tolerant. Not less tolerant. He's becoming more steadfast in his bad ideas. And that's why I'm not really his friend anymore. I haven't seen him in months, you know. But. So I'm like, I forgot what I was going to say about that. Well, I already know that's ridiculous, and I know he already feels that way. But I wanted to clarify him. I don't know why I can clarify this now, but I know why I didn't contest him then is because, you know, nobody wants to yell and scream at a white elephant party where people are just having fun and talking, you know, having a Christmas cheer. They don't want to argue with anybody. But if I had been in that room with the white people and there was one other black person, and once that black person left and I talked shit about him and talked about how ghetto he was and talked bad about him, that would be more akin to what Kingsley's talking about. Not defending a filmmaker who you don't even know. Tyler Perry could be the biggest asshole in the world. You know, why should I stick up for him? And we all know that when you express your opinion about a piece of art, and you're not selling out the race of the artist. You're expressing your opinion about a piece of art. And I'm like, damn, that annoyed me, you know, that he's still so stupid. And he comes off as somebody who's, I mean, he's an intelligent guy, it seems like, but when he gets his ideas, like the fact that he's not gay in his head, and he still tries to put that out there, like he's looking for a woman, I mean, and then he comes out like, you're a sellout if you don't like Tyler Perry's movies, or at least if you express that out loud, express your true opinion about something. Like, that's really crazy, but this is that's not the point where I hated the guy. I now officially don't like Kingsley and probably won't be his friend anymore because he's fucking racist. After we had that discussion, this was the day after the shooting in Newtown, Pennsylvania, I believe it. No, sorry, Newtown, Connecticut, where 20 children were shot dead. That came up later on in the evening because everybody was trying to have fun and stuff and, you know, exchange presents and, you know, Christmas cheer and eat some Christmas, some Christmassy type food. And so at the end of the night, they finally mentioned the fact that, you know, these kids were shot and people, there wasn't like nobody was crying and nobody was, you know, really appalled, feeling like they were appalled or anything. They were just discussing, you know, gun control and things like that. I think Kingsley wasn't particularly upset. He was just like, people were just like, you know, that's a shame. But once somebody said, one of the kids is black, Kingsley became disgusted and appalled, just like anybody who heard about this incident when they first heard about it. And, you know, the most extreme reaction you could see, find, he became that, even though he knew 20 children were killed, shot 6-7 times each for each kid. He knew this happened, but he was not upset until he found out one of the kids was black. And, you know, the girl was mixed race. That's when he was like, oh my God, are you serious? I'm so disgusted right now. I'm like, what the fuck? You get like this when you find out the girl was black? So that's just the piece of bullshit that I came across recently. And I can't believe it. I just can't fucking believe it. Anyway, on to the review. Django Unchained. I saw it yesterday. A lot of people. It's good. You know what? Fuck everybody. Fuck what other people thought about this movie. I thought it was great. Okay? That's it. I thought it was fucking great. I haven't liked a Quentin Tarantino movie since. I am a Quentin Tarantino. He's one of my favorite filmmakers. He probably is my favorite filmmaker still. Yeah, that's it. He's just my favorite film. Because nobody's top Pulp Fiction. And Jackie Brown is fantastic. And not that many filmmakers have 2 or 3 films on their roster that I absolutely love. The other ones besides him are... Actually, I don't even know if I can say this about Stanley Kubrick. Yeah, I think Stanley Kubrick is the only other one for me. And I like the film. I like films of Robert Altman and Martin Scorsese. But, and of course, Hitchcock, you know. But I don't feel that way about Steven Spielberg or anybody else. So I think Quentin Tarantino is about the only one who I really like, love 2 of his movies. Okay, I really love them and like them a lot. And you say 3 of his movies if you count Reservoir Dogs. So, but I haven't liked anything he's done since Jackie Brown. So it's like this, it broke down like this. I like all his films of the 90s, including his entry in the movie 4 Rooms. He had a small short film in that movie. And all the other films that he directed in the 90s. And I'm not counting his TV work. I never saw the ER episode he did. I can't fucking stand ER. But I'm talking about movies, theatrical releases. And not his movies that he wrote, like Natural Born Killers. Just the movies he directed. All great in the 90s. All the movies he directed in the 2000s, all 2-star movies. 2 stars, 2.5 stars. And they only get those stars based on some of his Quentin Tarantino-isms in the movie. Like, you'll see some products that he created for his universe of films. You'll see them in the background of his of those movies, of all his movies, and I give him points for that. And the music that he uses and some of the things where people are trying to be ultra cool, I give him 2.5 stars for that, for those movies. But I didn't like any of his movies in the 2000s too much. And that brings us to the third decade in which he's really a filmmaker, making a lot of movies. I don't count his first movie in the 80s, My Best Friend's Birthday. I don't count that. And I haven't seen it. But his third decade as a legitimate filmmaker, I mean a recognized filmmaker, is starting off good. Even though he gave me no reason to think that Django Unchained would be good, because all his other movies of the 2000s were pretty bad, I still had a feeling that I was going to like Django Unchained. Even when I found out it had rap in a movie set in the 1800s, I still thought that Django Unchained was going to be good, and I was right. Okay, people say, and this is probably the only time I reference other critics, the movie was too long. I don't know where he could have cut anything out. There was the movie, I'll just tell you real quick, because you probably already know it, but it's just for people who don't know, somebody lived under the rock. It's just about a black slave who was quote-unquote rescued by a white guy who's a bounty hunter, so that white guy could use the slave to find some bounty, because the slave was the only one who knows who his bounty looks like. He's the only one who's seen the guys, or, you know, one of the few reliable accounts. So he rescues Django and he frees him, and they go and hunt the guys together. And in the process, he makes Django a bounty hunter and makes a deal with Django that, you know, if he helps him find these guys called the Brittle Brothers, he'll help Django find his wife. Django find his own wife, Brumhilda. And the men become kind of friends, apprentice, professional relationship, then friendship. And from in this whole journey, it's a Western. I fell in love with the characters right away. People say Django, I mean, critics say Django. Somebody say he's kind of like a cipher. I didn't get that. I got the sense that if he didn't say nothing, it was because he was black in the South. In some instances, he can't say anything, or it's going to cause more trouble than it's worth. And I mean, in some of the scenes, you know, he had to play the back. But I never got the fact that he was just a blank cipher. I was prepared for him to be that, so, you know, hearing about the movie, seeing scenes from the movie, but he wasn't that. The performances, of course, was all great across the board. Why can't I think of her name? The woman who played his wife, Kerry Washington. Yeah, she was a damsel in distress, but I felt their love. When he was like going across his adventures, all he could think about was her. He would see her from time to time, and that made me feel good. I mean, I felt the relationship right away. I felt connected to the characters right away. There's a comedic scene in the movie, and now people automatically say, oh, this is a slapstick. This is what the critics say. It's a slapstick comedy. Is it trying to be Blazing Saddles? Blazing Saddles was better. No, there was one goofy, I guess you could say kind of goofy comedic scene. One. And the rest, the people say it was bad because it was jarring from that comedic scene to a horrific scene. And there was like, for the really, really horrific scene for a moviegoer to see, between that and the time lapse between that comedic scene and that horrific scene was like 20 minutes. Now, granted, my viewing, it was kind of skewed off with the timing of my showing. It seemed long to me because our viewing was interrupted by an idiot who bum rushed into the theater. I don't know if he ran into the theater or if he was already in the, if he was already in the theater. He ran up to the front and you know, the little curtain skirt that's under the screen. He dove under that, and people started you know, instead of, you know, just sitting there and waiting for the security to come get him, people started streaming out the theater quickly. Like, there were no gunshots, but the people were streaming out like there was gunshots. It didn't help. There was a black woman a couple of seats down from me who said, him over there, that guy over there, pointing as if he had a gun. And people, we just started leaving. And I didn't know, I hadn't seen the guy at all. I couldn't see anything. It was dark. But somehow this woman, she saw everything. I'm like, damn, were you paying attention to the movie? I mean, maybe she didn't like the movie. But him over there. And then people were just streaming out. The people in the front were streaming out the theater as if there were a gunman in the theater. And I'm saying, damn, like I said, I didn't see anything. But once I found out, once I got my eyes adjusted and saw the security taking the guy out, people were still streaming out the theater. I sat my ass back down. Okay, now I realized what the people were thinking. I realized that maybe he could have. Actually, no, because if he put a bomb in there, the security would have said, everybody out now. But, no, you know, we sat there for 10 to 15 minutes before they started the movie again. And I thought that it was hard to get people back. I mean, people took their time to get back in that fucking theater. Some, two of the people next to me, they left at that point and never came back. So, I'm like, I was amazed. People are really spooked by the recent shootings we had. That's what I took it from, the shooting in Newtown, plus the shooting in Arroyo, Colorado, at the Dark Knight Rises midnight showing out there. And I was really surprised how shaken up everybody was at that incident. And the boy who they pulled out, he looked just like that fool. He looked like both of those guys from the Arroyo Massacre in Newtown. He was like a shaggy looking white boy, really pale, mushroom haircut, hair all crazy. I sat my ass back down. Okay, they started the movie again. They rewound it and started the movie again. So that's why it might have seemed pretty kind of long to me. Other than that, it didn't seem too long. If it wasn't for that 15 minutes, I could have saw the movie uninterrupted, uncut, and I could have really told you if it felt long to me. But because of that, it felt long to me, because of that 20-minute intermission that we got. But when they rewound the film, I discovered something. It's, a lot of people criticized the film by using the N-word too much. And there was a scene that two black critics in particular did not feel comfortable with, because people were laughing at the word nigger being used. And there was only one time that the audience laughed. Only one time that was that I could see that they were talking about, where my audience laughed at the use of the word nigger. And it was an exchange between Jamie Foxx and Leonardo DiCaprio, who is a slave owner who owned Django's wife, quote unquote, owned her. And that wasn't laughing at the word nigger. That was laughing at the one-upmanship. You know, that it's the rule of threes. You ever heard a comedic term, the rule of threes, where somebody says something and somebody says something else and it's a little funny, and then somebody says the third thing, except this time the things all ended in the word nigger? But it wasn't laughing at the time at the fact that they were black people are niggers. It's laughing at the, or saying that black people are niggers. People are laughing because of the one-upmanship and the great dialogue and the great acting of the actors. I hate rap in a movie, especially when the movie is not in the time period of rap. If it's like, or any kind of movie, or mostly any movie where, you know, it's set in ancient times, but you got modern rock, so, you know, music that was created in the 70s and 80s in a movie, in a setting of the 1500s, 1600s, 1800s. But in this movie, I liked it. That's still, like I said, it was great. It was great. I hate the rapper Rick Ross, can't stand Tupac, and neither do I like the music of John Legend particularly. But all three were in this movie. I mean, their music was in this movie, and I love the use of it. Very good movie. That's all I got to say. I recommend Django and Chains. I'm not going to give away any of the stuff. But I will say this. They're used to do an N-word in there so many times. I counted 80-something. Officially, somebody said it was 100. Supposedly, some website said it was 150 or something. No, I counted. Maybe I was too into the movie to count every single N-word, but I counted about 80-something times it was used. And like the movie Goodfellas, which oppressed me. I took it off my top. I wanted to take it off my top favorite films of all time list, even though Goodfellas probably is one of my favorite films of all times, because it was so oppressive. You felt like you were in this mob world where people murdered each other indiscriminately, and these disgusting people who you would act like they were normal workaday work guys, but they killed people. It took people from their families forever. These disgusting people. I felt dirty and felt nasty. But that's why it was one of my favorite films, because I felt I was immersed in that world and the story was compelling. That's what Django Unchained did in a different way, where I felt like I was, he had to use the word, even whether or not they used the word that much, nigger that much, to describe black people in the 1800s was immaterial. When they did use it, that's the time it was used. It came about to describe us in the lower form way to make us feel like less people. So in this movie, the use of that word combined with the way the black people in the movie were treated made me feel like I was oppressed. This happened at the point where we get to Candyland, which is a little past the halfway point of the movie, dealing with Leonardo DiCaprio and his people. That's when you feel oppressed, because the use of the word nigger and the way the people were treated, he needed to do that to make us feel like we were there. And because of that, when Django comes back, okay, when Django rises at the end of the movie, it feels even more incredible because of that. Because out of this oppressive world, Django rises up. Oh, man, as far as him, I ain't even defend him using the word nigga. I don't have to. For all y'all saying I'm a QT fanboy, not really, because I admitted that I didn't like any of his films from the 2000s. They sucked. And this is the first good movie he did since, or first really good movie he did since Jackie Brown, which is a great movie. And I'm trying to think. Oh, there was something else. At some point in the movie, two of the most compelling characters who are not Django, the two most compelling characters in the movie, they leave the movie. And people, I guess they're trying to say when they leave the movie, something goes out of the movie. No, it doesn't. The movie only has another 20 minutes to go, about roughly 20 to 30 minutes to go after that. And it's so fast-paced and badass. I don't miss. I don't have time to miss those characters. It's a badass movie. Django rocks. Okay. And then there are people nitpick. There's a couple of people who hated the movie. They nitpick because of the horrible performance of Quentin Tarantino. But yes, it is a horrible performance in a great movie. That right there tells you, and people admit that, that's what you call nitpicking. When people admit that all these performances were great, they can't be great performances if they don't have great material to work with. So anyway, this has been my review of Django Unchained. It's been about 25 minutes, so I feel that's enough. There's anything else? Yeah, check out the website if I can find it. Well, check out I'm trying to find my movie website address. It's zoommovies.blogspot.com. ThoomMovies. Blogspot.com. Check it out, and check out my podcast, my comic book podcast, while you're at it. Doomcast.blogspot.com. Until next time, peace.